welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
As you guys saw, we are going to Barclay East at the end of this month. And we are really excited for what God is going to do there. We're expecting 500 to 600 youth there. I don't know, for those of you who have been in Barclay East, it's an interesting place, just in terms of the spiritual as well. So we're really excited for everyone there to be set free, to get and meet, have an encounter with Jesus. So I want to encourage all of you, if you haven't signed up for the mission yet, feel free to do that. Just go like our Shofar Facebook page. The sign-up link is there. And it's $300 for the mission. But if finances is a problem, come speak to me, come speak to Tian at the office. And if you really feel you want to go, don't let finances stand in the way. It's a Friday to a Sunday, so your work doesn't really get affected that much. And also this week coming, we will be releasing the countries where we will be going for the rest of our Let's Go missions from now up till June. So keep an eye on our Facebook page, and I want to encourage you guys already to start praying and asking God where it is He wants to send you, whether it will be Mozambique, India, Nepal, wherever we will be going. Just ask God already to start stirring in you a heart for the nations, for disciple making, and to see His kingdom come everywhere we can go humanly possible. Amen. Just close our eyes and it's on in prayer. Just thank you, Jesus, for your life in abundance, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the all-sufficient Savior, Father. That you first loved us, that you first approached us, Lord. And today we can respond by giving you our hearts, all that we are. Lord, I pray that you'll guard my mouth, lead every word that will depart from me, Father, so it will bring glory to your name. Pray, Father God, for power and life in my words, God, so that it will spring forth fountains of living water in everyone, Father God, bearing fruit, bearing life. Today, Lord, we don't want to sit and hear a good sermon, God. We want to go out there and live a good life, reflecting you, Jesus. I pray, God, that today we will not only be hearers, but doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's going to find out, is Mihai here? I wouldn't think so. Is he? For those who don't hear, Meryl has given birth to little Ethan. So very excited. So woo! It's nice and healthy. Everything is going well. So praise God for the addition to our family. We've all been easy. He came a bit early, if I know correctly. So praise God for little Ethan. We are excited to see the contribution he will have to the kingdom. And for those wondering, actually I'm surprised that there are so many guys here in the service. Most of our men are at the men's camp this weekend, which will be ending around 11 a.m. this morning. I came back from there last night, and I can just say God is really moving, showing promises. And I hope that you're excited with me for every single man that is there to come back and to stand for the place of leadership, place of influence, in households, in workplaces, in classes, wherever we are placed, and to see His kingdom come as men rise up to take their rightful place in the order of God. And for the ladies, I just want to remind you as well, stop praying, get excited for your Awakens Women's Conference ahead as well. We're not only focusing on the men, we're also making a space for you guys to really just hear what is on God's heart for you. So I hope you're excited with me as well as I am for you. I'm quite jealous that I can't be there. I think I'm going to try to be in the worship team so I can just see, get a glimpse of what God is going to do there. But hallelujah. Today I'm going to speak about fearlessness. Fearlessness on the day of judgment, and how it is that we can be fearless. Is it okay to be fearless? Is it does it appear arrogant? What is the biblical truth? Why did Jesus say that we have to be fearless on the day of judgment? And how do we come to get that? I'm sure many of you have heard deathbed stories. I quickly Googled a couple, came across some weird YouTube clips of some really interesting people. But I read a couple of stories. There was this blog where a bunch of nurses posted and just saying all the things they've seen in hospitals just before people died. And they saw people really being weak for 20 years plus, and just before they die, they get this new strength, this new life just before they die. People reaching their hands out to people, calling them, people saying they're seeing angels. Oh, how beautiful the angels. And then people weeping, being afraid, being so fearful because they saw that they're on the way to hell. And then only realizing there is a place as such. And there's many interesting stories of what the people saw. And I just want to have us ask the question, how do we think about death right now? If we had to, God would tell us that we will die right now, would there be a bit of fear in us? Are we sure what is to come? How is our stance with God in terms of that expectation, or what will be happening inside of us? Will we be joyful? Will we be fearful? How would we go about this? And to ask the question a bit further, what does our lifestyle reflect in terms of this? Do we live and come across in a certain way which we are not fearful for dying any given time? Do we live in such a way that if God would tell us that, Christy, tomorrow you are going to die, would I do a lot of things different today? And I'm sure you have heard this a lot, you have thought about this a lot. But today, this is not the main focus of what I want to talk about. Today, I want us to take the focus a bit off of ourselves and a bit more unto God. And just to process that off, we're going to talk a bit about the cross and truly what it meant and how our lives align to the cross. Because when we think about our faith, when we talk about our faith, about Jesus, it is impossible to not make a reference to the cross or to look at the cross and speak about what was done. And so there's a specific reason we also had communion today, because Jesus said, do this actually daily in remembrance of me and what I've done. As soon as we forget what Jesus has done and who he is, it is so easy for us to direct our attention to something else. But then with that said, is the cross the end point of our faith? Is it the focus point of our faith? Or is Jesus the focus point of our faith? Do we, in our lives, in our quiet time, always just make reference to the cross and what Jesus has done, which we all know is the foundation of our faith? But do we go beyond that? And I want to read us a portion of Scripture out of Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. And I don't have this on the board, but the Message translation says, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Here we read in Philippians, it says, the Lord is at hand. And it reminds us, I'm sure, of the scripture that says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand as well. What does it mean? It means it's close by. It's within reach. It's within our grasp. And the same is with the Lord. If Jesus was not in us, abiding in us, we would surely be lost. And that is why God says that he wants us to live a lifestyle, yes, without worry, without being anxious, but always giving thanks through prayer and supplication. This is easy to say, I'm sure we've heard it as well, but I know I worry. It may be about important things, I would think, big things, I would think as well. But is it biblical to worry? Does it reflect the lifestyle of Christ to worry? No, it doesn't. And today we're just going to speak a bit about this. And why Jesus said that there's not supposed to be any anxiety, any fear, any worry in our lives. But we should just be thankful for who He is and what He has done through prayer and supplication. I know a lot of time it's a great prayer to pray over someone. May the peace of God be upon you, which surpasses all understanding. But we miss the first part of the scripture that says, but it's through prayer and supplication, by thanksgiving to God, then the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this immediately links us up with the portion of scripture that says that we should be praying fervently, constantly. With every breath, with every deed, with everything we do, we should be doing it in thanking God. In the subtleness of praying, in the spirit, in our quiet times, in walking down the street, we should be thinking and thanking Jesus the whole time, because out of that place is fearlessness. There's no anxiety, there's no worry. And that's why Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippians, the first church that was planted in Europe, saying amidst conflict, amidst trials, amidst the worries, do not be anxious. But through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. I'm going through a couple of things in my life, and oh man, my first reaction will be to make a, not a spreadsheet, I'm not that diligent, Tian would do something like that. But I would just scribble on a piece of paper, pros, cons, and I would try to figure out a way on how to do this. Yes, God did give me a brain. He did give me this tool to use to figure out and tools and maneuvers and solutions. Yes. But if it doesn't come out of a place of saying, God, this is what I'm going through, I give it all to you, and I trust you to reveal to me the plans, then of course, my piece of paper, I'm sure within 2 days, I've just misplaced it anyway. And I would just sit worrying, biting my nails, but still in a sense saying, God, I trust you with this. And God has been convicting me about this. I know all of us at some point has given things to God. Say, God, this job I give to you. My wife I give to you. My degree I give to you. But then we, on the flip side of it, we still worry about it. We still worry about provision for marriages, for degrees, for work. And is it really fair, in a sense, to do that? Doesn't it say to God, Lord, I trust you, but I do not really trust you. God, I give this to you, but I also need to keep my hand on this as well, because my worry somehow will make give an effect to this equation. And God has just been speaking to me, saying that, Christy, if you give something to me, leave it with me. I'm big enough to handle anything that you can ever give me. See, to live a life without anxiety, without fear, we need to pray. Because that prayer leads us to peace, which comes from a place which we cannot understand. It comes from the Spirit. It comes from a place of intimacy with God. The scripture says the Lord is at hand. So through praying, through thanksgiving, we just bring Jesus into our lives constantly the whole time, because He is the solution to every problem. Living Jesus. You all know that Jesus is alive today. He rose up from the cross and He is now placed in heaven, making intercession for us. But God has also been speaking to me a bit about today. Let me just just give it out there today. I'm actually just preaching to myself. You're just happening to hear what I have to say. But I trust God that somewhere the Holy Spirit will just minister something to your heart as well. If we think about Jesus, what is the image we have in our heads? That a man with robes, brown hair, that walked this earth doing signs and wonders and miracles, being full of peace, being full of anger, doing the will of God. Is that the picture, the image we have of Jesus when we do quiet time, when we pray, when we relate? Is that the image we have of Jesus? And I want to be as bold to say, but if that is how we still think about Jesus, we are really missing the point. See, if we say that Jesus is alive, living today, we cannot refer to Jesus as Jesus before the cross. That Jesus was perfect man, perfect God. He died on the cross. And today is Jesus made glorified, looking completely different. We're going to read a scripture how Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. John falling flat on his face after seeing Jesus. How do we see Jesus? How do we relate to him? We say we know that Jesus is alive, but do we only think about him like we read in Scripture? See, the Bible is great. The Bible is everything. The Bible is a testimony of who Jesus is and the lifestyle he led. The Bible is a guideline of how we should live our lives. It gives us context of mysteries. It gives us context of Jesus' character. But then it takes us to the cross, where Jesus died, where he rose again. So that means that apart from the testimony we read of Jesus, is Jesus, his life continued. But do we tend to always stop at the cross and not take it further, saying that Jesus, you are alive, but in a sense, I'm only worshiping the past of who you are and not the Jesus you are today. Why did Jesus come to earth? Yes, to give us a life of example, to follow, to imitate. He died on the cross so that we can be free. But did he come to earth to do signs and wonders and miracles only? All those things are great. All those things are daily requirements that should be in our lives. But Jesus came so that we can be reconciled with the Father in heaven, so that we can have a relationship with him. We all know that God desires intimacy with him more than what he desires our works of godliness. He's interested in us primarily and so much more than anything else we can ever do to impress him. Nothing can impress God. He's God. Nothing can take away from who God is. He's God. He wants intimacy with us. That is what his heart longs for, burns for. And today I truly trust the Holy Spirit that he will just come and break something open to us of what the cross meant. Truly, it meant that we can have an intimate, knowing relationship with Jesus. An intimacy God refers to that Adam knew Eve. It was a real intimacy, like intimacy between a man and a woman in marriage that we should have with God. I know sometimes for us as guys it's a bit difficult to understand this. But that is how close God wants to be in us. God doesn't only want to be around us, he's in us. He's behind every single breath. We breathe. So how intimate is our relationship with Jesus? Is it only based on the word, on that which he has done? Or is it based on who he is now and what he is doing? We all know that Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He didn't say imitate me as I imitate Christ's works. He was speaking about a relationship, knowing Jesus, spending time with Jesus every single day, Jesus speaking to him, real, real time today and imitating that which he has seen from Jesus. It brings you to the portion of Scripture in Matthew 7, which I'm sure we've all have read as well, where Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" All those things are great. Casting out demons, doing wonders, doing signs, prophesying. It's all gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's all biblical stuff, yeah? But if you do it not out of a place of intimacy with God, without actually knowing who Jesus is, he's going to chase us away. Not in a good manner. It's not going to be, "Sorry, you're not." He's going to chase us away. The scripture links up. I don't have it on the board of Psalm 101, saying, "A perverse heart will be far from me. I will know nothing of evil." If our hearts are far from God, we have perverse hearts. And God will have nothing to do with that because it's evil. Out of which place do we minister? Do we live? Do we do whatever all the good things it is that we are doing? Is it out of a place of intimacy with God? I know many times I don't. It is so easy to go on past experiences, past testimonies, knowledge of the Word to do many things, to do missions, to do sermons, to do daily ministry. But God wants it to be out of a place of intimacy with Him alone. Even though we can prophesy and cast 300 demons out daily, if we do it out of a place of knowing Jesus, it is for vain. Doesn't count anything for the kingdom of God. The cross is a symbol and a reminder of what Jesus has done so that we can be free and be reconciled with the Father. He has given us that key to know God. So in a sense, if we take that element away from the cross, we take away that which Jesus has come and done for us. We're saying, "Lord, it's really great who you are, what you've done. But if you do not pursue a relationship with Him, we are actually missing the whole point of the cross." The cross is a love story. It's God showing His love towards us, giving us His Son so that He may be tortured and killed and punished for all of our sins. Not only so that we can be put on a pedestal and be holy, but so that we can have a relationship with Him. It's all about love. The Bible is one big love story in God's heart towards us. And He wants to be reconciled with us. Bo Johnson states the following so well. He says, "One who embraces an inferior cross is constantly filled with introspection and self-induced suffering. But the cross is not self-implied. Jesus did not nail Himself to the cross. I believe if we do not fully understand the cross or the power of the blood of Jesus, we are constantly in this place of condemnation and constantly in the place of doing introspection. Who am I? What are my motives? How many times have I spent with God today? What's my heart behind this and that? Always looking to an equation to have an end goal of godliness. I caught myself early this week that just passed when the Holy Spirit spoke to me saying, 'Yes, He wants to do this and this today.' And then my answer to the Holy Spirit was, 'But God, I didn't spend time with you this morning. So how will this work? Is it going to work?' And it nobody caused me just wrestling with my own thoughts all day, and I didn't walk into the things the Holy Spirit wanted to do through me the day. Do we really form a part of the equation of what God wants to do? terms of a contribution we can make. See, Christians trapped by this counterfeit are constantly talking about their weaknesses. I believe if the devil finds us not interested in evil, he then directs our attention to our shortcomings, to our weaknesses, and our incompetency. Yes, we are weak, we are clueless, we are incompetent when it comes to so many things of what Christ wants to do. But are we supposed to be constantly focused on that? Or should we rather be focused on the fullness and the glory of who God is? I know if the devil has this thing right to have us focusing on our shortcomings, we are totally just going to miss what God wants to do because our focus is on ourselves and not on God. If we are constantly thinking about our shortcomings, do we really believe that the cross was sufficient? That Jesus' blood did cover all my sins and sins to come? Should our focus be ourselves or should it be Jesus? I don't know, all know the right answer, it should be Jesus. But does our thoughts and our lifestyle reflect it? It's not about us. It's not about our ministries, our desires. It's all about Jesus. It's not about our competency because we are not competent. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, so that we are made fully competent through the Holy Spirit which was poured out on us. How many times, and I'm sure that God has spoken to so many of you, just like he did with me in this past week, saying that this is what I want to do, and then we just give God an answer saying, either we are not worthy, or we are not ready, or how can this happen, because I don't understand this right now. And for me, that is, in a sense, it's a slap in God's face for what he has done on the cross, because we take away the power thereof. The cross has made us competent and ready at all times for the work of the ministry, for the work that God wants to lead us into. Being constantly aware of our shortcomings and shortfalls, it's not humility. It's a very subtle form of pride. Because we exalt that above which God wants to do through us. Constantly declaring, I'm so unworthy, is a sad replacement for the declarations of the worthiness of God. By believing on our own unrighteousness, the devil has disengaged us from effectiveness. It's a twisted version of the holiness when introspection causes my spiritual self-esteem to increase, but my effectiveness in demonstrating the power of God to decrease. Is about us feeling good about ourselves. It is about the kingdom of God that is at hand that it needs to become. We will always fall short if we are going to try to earn a salvation or to earn a righteousness with God. It is impossible. But through the cross and through the Holy Spirit, it is already done. And the devil comes so subtly with this, having us focus on the shortcomings and not on the glory of God. Today I trust that we will make that shift again in our thoughts, saying, Lord, I have heard this, I have done this, but today I really not want to focus on myself, but only on you. And that which you are capable of doing through me. In a sense, we should stop having introspection of our lives. I found it that I don't need to constantly think of my shortcomings. You know what? The Holy Spirit does it for me. He convicts me of what is not right, then what needs to follow, repentance, a lifestyle reflecting repentance, and just focusing on Jesus. If the Holy Spirit convicts me of what I'm doing wrong and I need to try to make this work, you know what, I'm going to still do that same thing for 30 years to come. But if I say, God, I repent and I keep focusing on Jesus, keep focusing on the cross, on which Jesus says, it is finished. Everything is finished. You are free. You will not be free. You are free. It's by focusing on the original, we can eliminate the counterfeits. Only in that way. And I know that you all know how the people work with the notes, the bank notes. You've got that have people studying the original like so thoroughly. They know every detail of it. And then when a counterfeit comes across him, they can see the counterfeits. They don't go and study all the 200 different versions of the notes that are out there. They only study the original, correct one. And by knowing it so well, they immediately pick up a counterfeit coming across it, whether it feels different or looks different or there's a small indent on it, whatever it may be. And that's the same that we should live our lives as well. We should only be focusing on Jesus, His fullness, His wholeness, what He has done on the cross, that He is alive today, what He wants to do today, and then all the rest will fall away if we are just saying, God, I repent of everything, but I'm never going to take my eyes off of You. I don't want to focus on all my sin, on how I missed You half an hour ago. Your blood is enough. I want to focus on who You are right now, Jesus. And that is the only way we can overcome. It's the only way we can live without anxiety, without fear. And we need to focus on obeying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so in every thought and everything that we do. And we need to get back into tuning into what He's leading us into. You see, it's only true brokenness causes complete dependency on God. True brokenness is not us trying to fix ourselves, still in a way. Someone just... one of the ushers just closed this door for me, please. God has been speaking to us as a church a lot about clean hands and pure hearts. And that is what He's been speaking to us about now at the men's camp as well. And with that, a place of accountability and true accountability. What is clean hands? What is pure hearts? Why do we need them? We need them because blessed are those who have clean hands and pure hearts, for they will see God. We can only know what a clean hand is if we measure it against the hands of Jesus, like the people do with the banknotes. We can only have a pure heart if we measure our heart with the heart of Jesus and not our version of a pure heart. Today we need to pray and say, Jesus, I want the realness of who You are. Thank You for closing the door. The reality of who You are today, and I want to measure myself against You. And then only Holy Spirit, You can come and make the change. Same is about accountability. Why is it sometimes so difficult for us to open up our lives to someone else? Being accountable, asking for help, asking how should this thing really work. And I know for guys, I don't know how it is with the ladies, for guys it is sometimes so difficult. Why? Because we are full of pride. We go into a thing knowing that we are able to do this the right way. But in the same sense, we are not really confident that we can do it the right way because we don't want to be held accountable for it either. It all comes down again to the cross. All of us have fallen. All of us has fallen short of the grace of God. But should we be focused on how far we have fallen from grace, or should we be focused on the fact that we are heirs of Christ? I'm not taking away the fact that Jesus has saved us and redeemed us. But He has saved us and He has redeemed us. We now need to start focusing and seeing ourselves as heirs of Christ. Living up to the expectation of the glory of Jesus. Yes, we will only be made perfect on the day of His coming. But we need to live today as if we are Him. We're going to be speaking about accountability a lot, I'm sure, in our small groups and meetings to come, and this thing about clean hands and pure hearts. And with this, I want to encourage all of you just to constantly be thinking about Jesus and only measuring yourself to Him. And then it's not about us having to attain this level of glory, which is impossible to do on our own, but just saying, God, I am weak, but I'm not going to focus on this. I'll only focus on You. Jesus takes care of the rest. He really convicts us of where we need to be convicted. We don't have to constantly be thinking about it as well. And let's go to John while he was in the Isle of Patmos. Exiled there, where Jesus appeared to him in Revelation 1, verse 12 to 18. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am living forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Why did Jesus reveal himself to John in his glorified state? Because that is how we should remember Jesus and be focusing on him today, living alive. And I must say, this is quite a radical picture. What would happen if Jesus had to stand on this? I'm sure we'd all just die. Because it's so glorious. A sword coming out of his mouth. Snowy hair, eyes burning like fire. It is insane. It is hectic. It's beautiful. It's glorious. How does that compare with the image of Jesus before the cross? He was perfect in both ways. But the one is before the cross and the one is afterwards. One, he still had to do something. He still had to die. But on the other side, he is living a glorious, victorious life. Which one is the one that we should live in? The former or the latter? The latter, of course, a life of conquering, a life of being made glorified, a life without anxiety, without fear. Jesus says, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last." He has the keys of death, of Hades. Jesus revealed himself to John because that is how we should relate to him, being alive. He also appeared to the other disciples, John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." The disciples were meeting in this room. Everything was closed off. Jesus appeared in the midst of them. I'm sure they were all relatively freaked out of it. Because now Jesus did not look the same which he looked before the cross. And he just said, "Peace be with you." Jesus makes a special appearance in front of the disciples to say what? To say, "Peace be with you." Jesus wants us to be full of peace, to not worry, to not have anxiety. And it's not out of a place of ignorance saying, "Okay, God, I'm not going to do any of this. I'm not going to study for my exam. I'm not going to work, meet my deadlines at work." No, it's definitely not that. But in a place of bringing everything needs to be done and then saying, "God, I'm going to do my best, but through this, I'm not going to fear at all." See, we can read about many things that Jesus did after the cross. He went down to Hades. He attained the keys of life and death. He preached to the lost souls who didn't get the chance to hear the gospel before his coming. And after the people repented, some of them who heard the preaching, he took them up to heaven. He then appeared on earth again in a different state because he was walking through walls and stuff. Appearing to us again. Why? Because we needed to make the change of who he was and who he is now. Jesus before the cross and Jesus after the cross. He's now in a place of victory, of glorified Jesus. 1 John 4:17, "By this is love perfected with us." Jesus is perfected with us. The cross is perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. Jesus says, as he is, we should be in this world. As he is, we are in this world. What does Jesus say we should be confident? I'm on the day of judgment. Just the name Judgment Day, it sounds like boof. Like, this is quite a hectic thing, but actually, it should just be like going to meet a friend, a family member. If I walk into my mother's house or good friend's house, I do whatever I want. I go to the fridge, I make coffee, I use any facility in the house which I want because I'm comfortable and I know them, I'm in relationship with them. But I do the same when I walk into someone, yeah, that I don't know house. Maybe depending on my mood of the day, I would do that. No, I wouldn't. Because there's no relationship, there's no knowing. And it's actually quite a simple analogy to make. It's exactly the same with Judgment Day. Are we going to go to heaven and meet Jesus there for the first time? Because if that will be the case, we're in big trouble. Amidst of all the good things we may have done on this world, 2,000 salvations, all these good things, 300 old people brought across the street. But if we meet Jesus the first time we go to heaven, we're going to be in big trouble. He's going to say, depart from me, because I never knew you. And I don't know if that in itself is sort of bringing some fear into your lives. It's not supposed to. Because Jesus warns us. He says, I want to know you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be in a relationship with you. We should have boldness, comfort the day we go to heaven because we would already know Jesus for who he is. I can just ask the band to come to the front, please. See, when we encounter people that have never seen or heard Jesus, why do we tell them? Do you speak out of a place of listing all the accomplishments that Jesus had? We're saying that, you know, Jesus is real. He's alive today. He wants to meet with you. And God just really laid on my heart that firstly, that today there are some of us that need to just come back to Jesus for who he is today, alive, living, and responding to that. And then secondly as well, that I'm sure, just as with myself, there's so many anxiety and worry and fear in our lives, which is not from God. And I trust that God wants to today replace that with himself. He wants to guard our minds. He wants to guard our hearts as in Christ Jesus. Jesus said that as God is in him, he is in God. And so as he is in God, he is in us. Everything is about intimacy with Jesus. The band can just start playing. Why don't you just stand with me, please, and just close our eyes and quickly just want you for a second just to think about your own relationship with Jesus. Is it mainly based on what Jesus has done before the cross, which is our guideline, our life to imitate and follow? But is the element of having that relationship with Jesus for who he is today, is that in our lives or is it missing? And even if you are unsure of answering that question today, Jesus just wants to meet with you today. And as we come and say, Lord, I repent of taking away from what the cross has meant, what you have done, because I've been missing having a relationship with you. In response to that, Jesus will draw near. He will reveal himself, living, alive, real, glorious. I would love to pray for the first group of people. If you can just respond by putting up your hand, that if you feel you are missing that relationship, that intimacy with Jesus, and you want to have that restored in your life, just with every eye closed, would you just put up your hand for me? See where you are. Thank you for those hands. Jesus. And even if you do not know this Jesus who I'm speaking about, who came and died for us to reconcile us with our Daddy, if you do not know Him, just feel welcome as well to put up your hand. We'd love to pray for you to have an encounter with Him. Before we pray for the next group, I want to ask something really bold of you guys, that if you have put up your hand, just to move to this front. I would just love to pray with you, short and simple prayer, that Jesus can come into your life and meet you, just where you are right here today. He accepts you for who you are, accepts everything you have done. I just want everyone that has put up your hands, just come to the front right now. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you that if you feel a burning sensation, your heart is pumping, and you're not coming to the front, I think it's best you do, because God wants to meet with you today. You've been running away, you've been turning your back on Him, you've been afraid of Him actually revealing yourself because you feel you're so full of sin. The devil has just been condemning you for who you are and what you've done. Jesus says He doesn't care because His blood has been spilled over it. But I'll give a couple more seconds, and if you still want to come to the front, now's the time. Thank you, Jesus. As always, just quickly for a couple of moments, let's all stretch our hands in the front. Let's stretch our hands to the front. Let's lift it up to heaven, and let's all just pray after me. I should just bring ourselves to God. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. Jesus, for your cross. Thank you, Jesus, that your cross is enough. Lord, today we truly lay down our sins and our lives. And we acknowledge that your blood was poured out for us as well. Jesus, come baptize us in your blood. Baptize us in your love. So we acknowledge you as King and Savior of our lives. Come heal our brokenness. And give us life. Come make us holy. For you are holy. Lord, we desire intimacy with you. Pray, Jesus, that we will get to know you. The Holy Spirit, that you will come and fill us and guide us. Lead us to the mysteries of Christ. And when we get to heaven, Lord, that we will know you. We'll be excited to see you, Lord, as a long-lost friend. Out of a place of intimacy daily. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. Our strong Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. Or find us on facebook.com/ShofarPretoria.